DD214 Network podcast is for mature audiences only. Any videos, music, or entertainment not originating from DD214 Network is used and covered under Section 107 of the Copyright Act of 1976, also known as fair use. Opinions expressed are our own and do not represent any DoD or U.S. government entities as a whole. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Viewer and listener discretion is advised. You are no longer alone now, because we have you.
It's a hell of a week, ladies and gentlemen, and we've survived another day, and so did you.
It was kind of a busy week. Like when Joe was kind of running over some of the things we were going to cover today, I was like, "Oh yeah, that was all this week."
That was a lot of shit happened this week.
Yeah, a lot of shit happened this week, and then we still have stuff to talk about from last week because of there was two nights of WrestleMania. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
We got something last Sunday.
We got Fallout.
Fallout. Fucking Fallout.
The eclipse.
Fucking OJ. You know what I mean?
OJ.
Fucking
crazy people thinking they're going to get raptured, tipping $1,000 and then asking for the fucking tip money back.
That's crazy, man. Absolutely. That's just like a dick move.
That is literally just a straight dick move. But, you know, we'll get to it. How are you guys doing? How was your guys' week?
Oh, dude, I'm living the dream. My lighting sucks today. I'm sorry about that. We're gonna be Batmaning it up. We're gonna be Christopher Nolan this shit today because.
Hey man, black is beautiful.
I mean, if that's the case, hold on.
Oh, there we go. Oh, we're all going Christopher Nolan. Not all right. Yeah, let's go.
We're gonna fucking do this. We'll do it all the way.
I'm all about the darkness on me. So.
Oh yeah.
I'm cool with it. Like I mean, you guys know how the fuck I roll. So.
Like, oh, that's gonna drive me insane. I can't shit.
Yeah, killing me right now. This is the all right. We're here though. I mean, shit.
John, I'm sending you some fucking key lights from Elgato. Fuck this shit,
dude. I'm ready. I started messing around with this new cooler I got, and it's got like because I got the HC100 Capilex XT, and it's First off, the fact that you could change the plates. Where the hell are my replacement plates?
Right?
Here they are. These like little replacement plates that it gives you. That's fucking cool. But I got the one with the little like hexagons on it and shit like that. Really nice stuff. Really nice stuff. I mean, the computer is running so good, man. And I appreciate your help when we spoke in the chat, melting Jay's brain. In the process of doing it, but we're back, baby. We're back in action.
Just want to remind you guys, it's not hard to melt my brain when you're talking about like all that tech shit, dude. Because I'm just like, okay, okay, you know what I mean. Just like it literally. Like, it's not that I don't like it. It's not that I don't appreciate it. It's that like I'm that fucking clueless about it. So it just like my brain does this weird thing where it just immediately walks out of the room and shuts the door behind itself. You know what I mean? I got nothing. I got nothing when it comes to tech. I got nothing. Like, I bring nothing to the table. Nothing.
Shit. Well, let's go in order, man. We had WrestleMania this week, this last week.
Yeah, you guys actually convinced me to watch Night 2. I ended up watching Night 2 because of you two guys and the way you talked about last week's Saturday event on the show when you guys were talking about it on the show last week. You guys basically convinced me to fucking watch WrestleMania Sunday night, and it was fucking amazing. I was shocked at like how it's changed, but like they do it so much differently now. You know what I mean? Than like when we were younger, growing up. Like I haven't touched professional wrestling in a long time. I didn't know half the people that were out there. Didn't know like, you know, hardly any of them. But it was like, it was extremely compelling. Very nostalgic. They did a great fucking job. Every fucking match, every match was good. Including, and as much as I hate to admit this, fucking Logan Paul's a good fucking professional wrestler. Holy shit. Like there's like no fucking denying it. Like that dude, he put on it. Like he was in a fucking match with Randy Orton and some other fucking guy. And then they weren't carrying
Kevin Owens.
Whatever. They weren't carrying him. Like they were like he was carrying himself.
Yeah, they were all doing their own thing. And which actually to me that was the most funniest and comedic and entertaining match other than the, you know, what happened at the main event, which we'll get to. But like that match alone, I mean, it was funny.
I think what really took it over the top was when we found out it was fucking iShow Speed, who's a fucking streamer. And
over the top, ridiculous one too. Yeah.
And he was the one in the Prime bottle costume that came to the ring with Logan. And then he barks at fucking Randy Orton. Randy Orton then fucking RKO'd him onto the fucking
back at him. Announce tables.
But before he RKO'd him, he fucking barked right back at him. And I just fucking died at that part. I was like, the Viper just fucking barked. What the fuck is this fucking shit? It was great. That match was good. The women's division, they don't call it the Diva division anymore. They're not the Divas. They're now, it's the women's division. And even the women's division's gotten a lot better over the years than it used to be. I've watched some interviews here lately.
It's a showcase. It's a showcase, man.
And the women, there's been times the women have been told, hey, you need to, you know, calm it down a little bit. You're outshowing the men. Like, you're doing things that are making the men like, why the fuck? How the fuck? What the fuck? Where the fuck? Kind of situation.
It's awesome.
I mean, obviously, the big thing with this WrestleMania was this is the first WrestleMania of the new Paul Levesque era or Triple H era of WWE.
You got to French it out, man. It's Levesque.
Paul Levesque.
Levesque.
Yeah, fucking, I mean, whatever.
You could say Levesque, too. I mean, it's not my name.
But it's... You know, this year of WrestleMania, probably because I typically every year do end up watching WrestleMania just to fucking watch it. Childhood memory type bullshit. And this year it's got me wanting to actually start watching, you know, some of the regular, like the syndicated TV stuff. Like,
I was like,
and follow the stories a little bit closer because
if they could put on, go ahead. I'm sorry, holy fuck,
if they didn't put on one hell of a fucking show for the first WrestleMania after, you know, the whole Vince McMahon's been outed and the whole fucking regime's changed hands. It's like, I can only imagine what they're going to do through the remainder of the year, the next set of pay-per-views, the Raws, the SmackDowns, everything going into next year when Raw comes over to Netflix now. Because starting next year, Raw is going to be on Netflix.
Right.
Streamed live on Monday night. Major multi-million dollar deal too, by the way.
Yeah. And we've discussed that on this show, like that was coming. And then, it was such a spectacle. And like Joe was saying, it did make me a little curious. I was like, well, fuck, if this is WrestleMania, if the goddamn house shows or fucking, you know, Raw or whatever, if they're half as good as this, they'll still be fucking entertaining. You know what I mean? Like it kind of enticed me a little bit to like, maybe you should go check out some of these new fucking wrestlers. Cause like, I had no fucking idea who basically anybody was, you know what I mean? I enjoyed it. I really had a good time watching it. There was a fucking shitload of nostalgia and, you know, like got me choked up a couple times, like remembering like my glory days of like, you know, being like in elementary school. Like,
well, let's get to it. Let's get to that part then. Special, I mean, fuck the main event. The main event was great. Congratulations, Cody Rhodes.
The end of the main event made that fucking, like, first off, props to Reigns and Rhodes. They beat the ever-living holy hell out of each other.
It really for did. Fucking, that was a long match.
Almost 40 fucking minutes.
That was long fucking match.
Yeah, and then fucking The Rock comes out. Solo Sikoa comes out. John Cena comes out. Seth Rollins comes out to the Shield's fucking theme. Yep. Fucking at first I was like, holy shit, did John Moxley come back to WWE when the fucking Shield fucking theme came on? Because Roman Reigns, his old faction when he first came into WWE was the Shield.
Yep.
With Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, his name under AEW's John Moxley. But when the Shield theme played, I didn't expect it to be fucking Rollins. Because I was like, they're really going all out for this at this point. I was like, we're getting fucking Dean Ambrose. He's fucking back. And then it was Rollins. And I'm like, hey, still, it is what it is. Rollins threw on his old fucking ring gear from the Shield days, did that. And then.
And dyed his hair too. Gong.
Yeah.
And then the fucking gong.
That was
Rock's crazy. About to start lashing, giving fucking Rhodes a fucking public lashing on in the ring with his fucking weight belt and the gong. And fucking The Rock looked like he shit himself.
They did. That was one thing I noticed is there was a lot less overselling on this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't see the overselling. Like, that everyone sold each other shit. But yeah. they weren't overselling. And that was what that was that to me that made a
big absolutely right.
That made a big difference to me. Was like from watching professional wrestling, like, you know, 80s going into the early 90s and then late 90s during the Attitude Era. And then basically nothing since the Attitude Era, basically nothing. A couple things here, a couple things there, functionally nothing in about like almost 20, 25 years mm-hmm. of professional wrestling. I haven't fucking seen shit. And to come back at WrestleMania 40 and watch it was like, oh shit. Like this is fucking cool. Like, yeah. This is fun. And like, they really embraced the performance art aspect of professional wrestling. It is performance art.
It was fun.
And they performed. And it was like, that's what sold it to me. Was like, they sold their performances. Mm-hmm. They sold each other. You know what I mean? Like oh my God, dude.
They knew the assignment.
Yes. Yeah. And Reigns and Rhodes fucking main event match was so over the top. And if they had tried to do that 20, 25 years ago, it never would have worked. It never would have worked. People would have called it cheap. They would have called it freaking, I don't know what, like, whatever. Too over the top. Now,
I will say,
the fans are like clamoring for exactly that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And it fit. And it fit the time frame that we're in. You know what I mean? And it was perfect. When Joe was not lying, they beat the fucking holy piss out of each other. Even for it being performance art, those two assholes beat the fucking shit out of each other, like hard.
Yeah,
that was like I'm glad they don't show pictures of like their backs and their rib cages like the day after, because like they're just bruised. Like they have to be just bruised head to toe. There's no fucking mm-hmm. way. There's just no fucking way.
And I mean, that's the thing. It's you know, wrestlers, I watch a lot of interviews with past WWE superstars and stuff too. And they say, you know, yes, it's scripted. It's, you know, we have a script we're going off of,
right?
But you're still landing fucking hits on each other. You're still getting hurt.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jay.
I was just going to say, it's kind of hard to jump off of a fucking ladder onto like fucking cement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not fucking do something. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you still have to land. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
On top of that, like the minuscule training that I did do, I remember the first bump I took, that shit hurt like a motherfucker. And the 100 other times that I had to take it for the time that I was there, it hurts. The ropes hurt.
I mean, you know, you're legitimately taking acting and adding combat sport to it. Wrestlers are literally just stuntmen that all they do is fucking take hits.
Yep. I mean, basically, yes. And like that's the whole art. The whole art is to make people believe that it's real. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, and that's, yes, there's a little bit of suspension of disbelief, but it's whatever. That's part of, the crowd is in on it. Also, the crowd was amazing. I forgot to mention the fucking crowd.
They were singing the tunes. Oh, they were
popping and locking, dude. Like, the crowd, like, that's the other beautiful thing about professional wrestling. The crowd is part of the fucking show. The crowd is part of the show. So like, when they get pops for some of the guys, you know, or whatever, like, you can hear it. You can tell, like, the crowd is, like, into it. And that's, you know, that, again, with the nostalgia. That's all I'm saying. Like, the nostalgia factor was there.
And I think,
like, go ahead.
The best part for me was definitely Taker fucking coming back out for a WrestleMania appearance after he retired and just choke slamming the fuck out of The Rock. Like,
that was fun.
I mean, that entire fucking match from start to finish, phenomenal. You know, props to all of the entertainers involved, not just Raiden's and Rhodes, because, you know, everybody knew their part in that match.
Right.
Like, they 100% with the Saturday night when they did the tag team match to determine if it was going to be bloodline rules or no interference from anybody, they set it up perfectly for all these other appearances at that point in the end for Rhodes to take the championship.
Yep. They did.
And, oh,
I think they went and I gotta say, I agree with their choice of how to end WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
If it had been anything less than a happy ending, like this, just specifically this year, if it had been anything less than a happy ending, like they would have really sold themselves short, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. They gave everybody like the storybook, feel good, you know, fairy tale happy ending. Like that was perfect. That was good. The only thing missing, and I noticed it, was Dustin Rhodes. The only thing missing was Dustin Rhodes. And I was like, well, some issues freaking take a little bit longer to heal, I guess. So, but that was interesting to see that, you know, basically the first Rhodes to be heavyweight champion, you know what I mean? And Dustin was nowhere to be found that night. And it was like,
and there was actually news on that too. Apparently, the WWE AEW claims that WWE never asked, and then AEW continued to do a bunch of weird stuff throughout the week. Which I don't know if you heard what they did.
I heard a little bit about the AEW. I heard that they what was the thing that happened the other night?
They released footage of an encounter that CM Punk had.
Yes.
And it's kind of petty. You know, it's kind of like, well, you know, he's not with the company anymore. Like, what are you doing? Everyone, you know, no one wanted to talk about it. It was just one of those things. It's like a workplace thing. When you see your two friends fight, you know, you don't talk about it ever again. And Tony Khan decided to release that footage. And the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson, didn't even want to be a part of it, but they apparently were told to be a part of it. And then there was a bunch of shit talking between another wrestler named Will Ospreay, who was saying a bunch of stuff in response to something that Triple H had said, but we don't know if Triple H was directly mentioning him. You know, it could literally be anybody that he was talking about.
It's two competing companies in the same fucking arena, pretty much.
They're going to be good old days, right?
Yeah, it's bringing fucking good old ECW and fucking WWF vibes. Like, we're that's what it's doing. And honestly, that's the type of shit wrestling needs right now. Because, you know, we look at WrestleMania fucking Saturday and Sunday. Fucking Triple H made sure his company fucking performed. His staff performed. They fucking did. I would say this WrestleMania 40, 100% down in the fucking WrestleMania history books.
Agree.
As one of the best WrestleManias of all time.
It's not even close. It's not even close right now. It's like that. Show me a WrestleMania other than like maybe a couple of the early ones where it was a relatively new and kind of fresh concept. Show me any other WrestleMania that like beats that. Just night two. Cause you guys, I still didn't see night one. I was just watching the second night. There were two nights.
Yeah.
Show me the one that beats it.
Like, and I had said too, it's going to be hard for night one to be topped. And my God, they fucking threw a bone.
Oh, bro. I laughed. I fucking cried. You know what I mean? Like I got fucking into it again. You know what I mean?
Because I've been following Cody Rhodes since, you know, his debut in WWE, through him leaving, going back to the indie circuit, helping form AEW with Tony Khan.
There was a time nobody thought he was coming back.
No.
He would have never come back to WWE. He would have been just.
Everybody thought because he left, because they made it seem like when he left after they did him wrong with the Stardust character, that he left on bad terms and there was never going to be a Rhodes back in the WWE, because you got to think that's when Dustin left WWE also. Dustin dipped out when they did Cody the way they did Cody.
He was like, I'm out.
And fucking Cody comes back. He's fought. He's fucking battled. Cody's first WrestleMania appearance after coming back, he had a torn pectoral muscle.
Yeah, you want to see a picture? You want to see a picture I took of Cody Rhodes a couple years ago, after he left WWE.
Absolutely.
100%. So I was working an event, and I was inches behind Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all there. And that night, he's actually wearing his Zelda gear too. which was actually awesome. If you know the history, it was the gear that he was trying to debut in the WWE before he left and all that whole thing. But the one thing I remember from that night is that after that match ended, Cody Rhodes stood in the ring in this little Knights of Columbus theater, didn't charge nobody for an autograph, and just sat there and took pictures with everybody.
Yeah.
That's good shit.
One thing I will say about the Rhodes family is Dusty raised his kids right.
Oh, hard agree. Hard fucking agree.
Like, Cody, Dustin, even their sister fucking are amazing. His sister's not in the sports entertainment area, doesn't do any of that shit, but I teared up when fucking Cody won Sunday and took the championship.
I did too. I was thinking about Dusty the whole time.
Yeah, I'm sitting there like Dusty is looking down right now, fucking smiling, jumping around, fucking proud as shit of his kid right now.
I got you, John. John, there's going to be something incoming to the podcast chat. Like, keep going, Joe. I'm sorry. And you guys might have already seen this actually, but I'm going to send it.
I just want to throw a big shout out too, because there was a wrestler who in the first match named Damian Priest who cashed in his Money in the Bank.
Yes.
I just want to give a big shout out to New Jersey's own.
New Jersey. Yeah. That's your boy, right?
There it is.
Zoom in on that shit.
Yep. It won't zoom in much further than that.
What? Why does technology suck?
It always sucks. There it is. There's that clear, beautiful photo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
him hugging his
fucking and Dusty's just like, yeah. Dusty's looking down, dude, like just freaking proud as shit. Proud as shit. Like freaking like it. That is the American dream. Like the real American dream is to like watch your family thrive. You know what I mean? And move on and like and know that they'll be okay when you're gone.
Well, and then
that's the real American dream, right?
So, of course, I watched, you know, the press conferences after night two. I watched the night one and the night two press conferences. And when Cody came out to talk, he was wearing a gold Rolex that was gifted to him by Triple H and fuck, what's his name? One of the other big people in the corporate area.
I think it was Nick Khan.
Nick Khan, it was Triple H, Nick Khan,
who doesn't have any relation to Tony Khan, by the way. It's hilarious.
It's fucking funny, but they bought the exact same year, make, and model of Rolex that Dusty had pawned so he could send Cody down to Florida to the developmental training to be able to get him into WWE. They bought that exact same watch and gifted it to Cody after he won the fucking match. Like, and that alone shows, you know, the respect everybody had for Dusty in WWE. I mean, all these superstars that Jay, even, I don't even know half of them to either. All of them, before Dusty died, they were being trained in NXT by Dusty.
Right.
Like, Dusty was one of the trainers down in Florida for NXT.
Right.
For all the, you know, new upcoming guys.
Well, he was giving back to the industry. You know what I mean? He was giving back to the industry that gave him his life. And this obviously before he passed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like you said, like you could tell he raised his kids right. You can tell he raised his fucking wrestlers right. You know what I mean? Like it's easy to see. You know?
He was quoted at one point as saying the wrestlers he trains are just as much his family as his regular family. He would give the shirt off his back to any of the wrestlers he trained, to anybody in the fucking organization.
Right.
If they needed it. And Cody, he has that same mentality and it's great. Like I'm interested to see where Cody goes from here. Cause now, you know, he's achieved that goal.
I want to see
winning the championship.
I want to see now, like what's the story?
I want to see the championship storyline for Cody.
Yeah.
Going over the next couple of years.
Yeah, there's been rumors that he's going to change the belt too. That there's going to be a belt redesign.
He's wanting to go back to the eagle.
The eagle?
The winged eagle fucking belt.
Really?
From back in the day.
Yeah, because the heavyweight championship kind of is reminiscent of the old WCW one.
My favorite was always the NWA 10 pounds of gold. You know what I mean? Mm. Like the big fucking just.
I've always loved the Intercontinental one.
Hey, real quick, before we transition.
Yeah.
I just sent you a link. Did you see the fucking Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje fight last night?
I did not. I completely forgot about it.
I think you should watch this highlight because I just sent you a clip. If you can like attach the highlight. And I think it's like probably like 20 some seconds long. Like just turn the sound off because you're going to die when you see what happened. You're going to die when you see what happened. Like, seriously, like you're literally going to be like,
yeah, this is.
So
this is the belt.
So this is a photo.
Hold on. That's the belt that Cody's wanting to bring back for the championship.
And it doesn't look bad. It doesn't look bad. I'm not saying that. I remember, I mean, that style, you know what I mean? Like that's why that's the belt that was the belt for the majority of my childhood.
Yeah.
And then Ric Flair brought the 10 pounds of gold over, right? Like, from fucking NWA/WCW. And, like, I wish they had fucking, like, kept that shit. You know what I mean? That was that was, like, the sickest looking fucking heavyweight belt. Like, to me. What was your guys' favorite fucking championship belt?
Mine is the Attitude Era Intercontinental Championship, the Oval.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right, so I have...
My favorite, so we're asking this. My favorite, it's a newer one that's no longer around, the 24-hour championship. It was legitimately, they tried bringing in a belt that just 24/7, 365 was up for grabs. So, like, if you had the title and you were at the fucking shopping mall shopping, another wrestler could come and fucking pin you and take the fucking belt from you.
Right.
They did some pretty cool shit with that. It was, I more liked it because of the differing factor in that championship than any other championship belt.
I could see the gimmick. Yeah. I could see the gimmick
for sure. And it didn't work that well. I think they only did it for like a year and then they got rid of the fucking championship altogether because there was some crazy shit that kept happening with people trying to get that fucking title.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was up for grabs by both the men's and women's division. So it didn't matter whether it was a man or a woman. They could pin whoever had the title and take that shit.
What are you finding, John?
All right. So I just saw the clip. I found this.
Yeah. With one second left. Like,
what the wow?
Fuck? Can you show the clip?
Let's see if we could try to show it.
Just turn the yeah, like mute it, but like just turn the that way we don't get a
how the fuck? What the fuck?
There you go.
Why the fuck? How the hell?
Yeah, this is the last couple seconds right here.
Yep. Out. Gone. I just slept him.
Boom.
That's it.
Was that fucking video like sped up? Because
no, it wasn't.
Like, was it like three time fucking speed?
It wasn't even sped up. That's the crazy part.
That's how
like
fast
they were swinging like motherfuckers right there.
Yeah. They went like Gaethje went out on his fucking shield and fucking Max Holloway like added to his own legend. Like it was fucking insane. I was just getting off for context. I was just getting off work last night. I worked the soccer game at Arrowhead Stadium yesterday because fucking Messi was here. So they had the soccer game instead of having it at their own fucking stadium on the Kansas side. They decided to have a game at Arrowhead yesterday, so I did that. But I was getting off work last night, and I saw that goddamn clip, and I was like, oh, my fucking God. It's like he literally got knocked out with 1 second left. Like, in a five-round...
That's crazy.
In a five-round fight.
Which almost went to decision.
Which almost went to a decision. Literally 1 second left. And they fucking threw down for the last 10 seconds. And Max Holloway is known for doing that shit. That's like his bread and butter.
Yeah.
And
it capitalized.
God damn, dude. That was hardcore.
That looked like a fucking crazy fight.
Yeah.
John, what do we got next?
You know what? I can't hold it anymore.
We gonna spoiler alerts?
You want to talk about Fallout?
No, because I know you guys haven't finished it.
Oh no, I finished it.
I haven't even started. Like, I don't
put the spoiler alert up. Cause I know Jay don't care.
I don't give a fuck. Like I already tell like everyone's like coming buckets over this fucking TV show. I never played the game.
You know what?
I won't give a fuck. I will likely not give a fuck one way or the other about this.
Like, the best part about this is that you could have gone in without playing the fucking games.
Because it doesn't take place during any of the games.
Yeah. It's just the setting, and the setting is the world has gone to shit, and there are weird things that are happening. And I want to hear, before I start sucking its dick, I want to hear what Squillini thought.
So, all right, so we're in the era now. We've moved on from superhero fucking bullshit. We're now in video game fucking movie era. We've had The Last of Us. We've had Halo. Now we've got Fallout. There's a Borderlands movie coming out soon.
Super Mario, Sonic.
Yeah, Super Mario, Sonic. We're getting fucking, you know, video game to movie or TV show adaptations. With the Fallout series, someone that has played some of the games, not all of them, because I haven't played the original DOS fucking RPG top-down style ones.
Which you can get for free on Game Pass, not affiliated.
But this show, I was disappointed with Halo.
Oh, I don't even, I don't even want to talk.
Totally disappointed with Halo. Fucking Last of Us, phenomenal. Obviously, we all three, you know, we reviewed Last of Us as it was airing. We all thought it was a good show.
So good.
It was really good. This one even one-upped fucking Last of Us. So far, hands down, best video game to TV adaptation they've done. The storyline was good.
A bold statement. I don't believe you. Like, that's a bold statement. Like, I might watch an episode. I might watch an episode just to, like, based off of that. Like, that's a bold fucking. The Last of Us was like fucking art. Like, I'm gonna hold you to that.
They won up the Last of Us.
Make you remember your words.
Just a little. I'm not saying it was like.
I have to agree. I have to agree. It was just a little bit.
But it was. It's now set the bar for season two of Last of Us to have to come in swinging dick even further.
Well, fair.
So, you know, this show, good storyline, great. Goggins as the fucking ghoul, hilarious. Fucking,
he stole the show.
He did. His character in as a whole fucking stole the show.
Joe, did the ghoul kind of remind you at certain times of Jay?
Oh God!
Like, yeah, were there some
that
moments
character really had some Jay mentality and fucking mannerisms?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, now I have to fucking see this shit.
Yeah, no, because the ghoul is interesting because like he's tough as nails, and he shows that on the outside, and like that little bit of soft side, he doesn't show it to anybody, only himself. And it's a very interesting character development of a man who, who's been alive for we'll say 270 years, given his age of when the bombs dropped.
Is he a character in the fucking video game?
No.
So this is just a made up, like, from the TV show kind of thing.
There was not one video game character in this show.
There was Dog Meat.
But the thing about Dog Meat is that traditionally you know how like you call a dog a mutt?
Yeah.
That's like what their word is in the Fallout universe of what Dog Meat is, because every dog in Fallout is Dog Meat, going all the way back from 1997's first Fallout game.
Well, see, I did like that one scene. It was a very split little part where they showed like the Dog Meat training facility, so to speak.
I love that. That was where the Enclave Center. Yeah, that was
breeding and fucking training these dogs to be companions for people after the fucking nuclear apocalypse.
Yeah, and what's cool about that scene is that was the little bit of Enclave that we have, and the Enclave is the last remnants of the original U.S. government, and they're training dogs. It was actually kind of interesting. I'm so happy to hear that you are enjoying it. What did you think of like the practical effects? Like, there's obvious green screen and blue screen in there.
Oh, yeah.
But the majority of the film was the majority of the show was like practical, and everything, the majority of the things that you see on screen was there, except obviously the monsters.
I would say practical effects were good. Even though there was obvious points where they're CGI and fucking green screening it, they didn't overdo it. I mean, when we're looking at post-apocalyptic world, obviously to bring that to life, there's going to be a lot of CGI and green screen. However, they didn't over CGI it to where it looked like it was CGI. They did it right to make it seem like it was realistic. It was realistic looking CGI. The Brotherhood of fucking Steel. Got to jump right fucking like toes first, head first, right into that. Fucking amazing. The way they fucking brought the armor to fucking life.
Yeah.
Great. Because they made it look like something our government could fucking actually end up doing and making for our troops to wear in fucking combat.
I bet they got a lot of fucking ideas now.
And just the ending of it. I mean, finding out the whole that technically the ghoul and the main vault dweller's dad
are connected.
Knew each other. Are connected because the main vault dweller who's out trying to save her dad, which is the whole premise of this season, because there's going to be another season. They can't just fucking end it where they
California
end.
Granted the production, Jonathan Nolan's production company, a $25 million California tax credit.
So
what does that mean?
Oh, that means that they got the money. They have a boost into making the next season if they decide to do it.
But you know, her dad is just as old as the fucking ghoul at this point. We find that out because he worked for Vault-Tec. And the ghoul, his character before the fucking bomb drop, his wife worked for fucking Vault-Tec.
Yeah.
Like they were all connected in ways too. And it was interesting and fun and just
I felt like I was watching more play. Yeah.
I want more. Like I feel like 8 episodes was not enough for this first season.
There were so many teases too. There were so many fun little things. All right, so look, the spoiler thing is up there. And there's been a huge controversy about New Vegas. I don't know if you've been reading the stuff, Squillini, but I'm going to say something right now that people need to understand. They did not retcon New Vegas. We don't even know what the ending of New Vegas is because there is no actual ending to New Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So they could do whatever the fuck they want. So I'm sorry that your little precious city is destroyed. But amongst that, it went from action adventure to drama to sci-fi. It was funny. It was sad. It was exciting. It was controversial. It was, I mean, animals were getting killed. One of the first scenes when you see the Brotherhood of Steel is a soldier jerking off in his bunk. You know, but one of the best things that I love about this, that what they did so good, better than Last of Us, is that let's say there was a moment, right? It was getting really dark and uncomfortable. All of a sudden, they would start playing like the old school 1940s music and like blood would be spilling and then it would start getting comical. And I think they found a really good way to take that discomfort away from you in a funny way, you know? It was fun. And I just want to add in too, I said this on the show before when I visited the Staten Island set, the Super Duper Mart set, seeing that set in the show and then realizing, oh shit, Walton Goggins and the vault dweller, Ella Purnell were there. It was like, wow, they were there. We were probably standing in the same 100 feet that these characters were in, and seeing everything else just come to life was so cool. The Easter eggs, the actors, the drama. I obviously look out of biasness. If I didn't know anything about Fallout, you can learn everything in these 8 episodes. And
I look forward to watching the first one and giving the first negative Fallout review ever, like next week.
Yeah, and nothing
I've read about it up to this point has given me like any reason to watch it. Same reason I never played the games. Like it was I'll try it.
Do you like comedy?
I don't think it's gonna work. I don't like.
Let me ask you this: Do you like westerns?
Yeah, listen, John. You don't got to sell me on this shit, dude. Like I've watched previews. Based on the previews alone, I would have never watched the show. I would have never touched it.
Yeah,
I've watched friends play Fallout. Not a fan of the game. That's why I never fucking picked it up. Like, it's not a game I enjoy watching other people play.
And again, you don't.
I watched our friend of the show, Chris Baudette, play all the way through Last of Us because that was a cool fucking game.
Like, since you spoke,
all you like Fallout dick suckers, dude. Like, I'm sorry, dude, but like nothing about this show, the games, anything has ever fucking done anything for me.
I actually got a message here from Chris Baudette last night.
Yeah, he's on the game. He's on this fucking show's dick too. I'm looking forward to like not enjoying this because like, if I do enjoy it, good. You know, like props to the people who made the show. I really don't think it's gonna happen, dude. I really don't. Like, it's like, I'm telling you, like, I got a bad feeling about this one, bro. I got a bad feeling.
Yeah, outside of your fucking negativity, every single website. And every single review.
That means fucking anything ever. Because
it kind of does. I mean, even Squillini. To hear Squillini say that it was, and like I do agree, it was a very minuscule, I would like to say 25% better. But, you know, they found ways to.
25. I would say maybe
10%. 10's reasonable. 10's reasonable.
10's reasonable.
I watched night 2 of WrestleMania because of how you guys were talking about it last week. I don't believe any of this fucking hype about this goddamn show. I really don't believe zero of the fucking hype.
When do we think Jay's gonna actually just start fucking listening to us when we say something's good?
Typically, he goes and
fucking watches something and then he agrees. I should have fucking listened to you guys.
Literally just shows how much you guys don't fucking pay attention about me. When I have a bad feeling, it's usually fucking like something. There's standing behind it. Like I already knew, I would or wouldn't like X, Y, or Z, right?
You know,
the way you guys are talking about this is not the way you were talking about night 1 of WrestleMania last week. It's not enticing me. None of the previews of the show have fucking enticed me. Not a single one.
The previews threw me the fuck off too.
Listen, dude. Listen, the game was not interesting to me at all. I don't care how many of you Fallout fuckers are out there, dude. Like I don't give a fuck.
I'm about to start playing right now.
I've seen what makes you people cheer.
Oh, we're live on the fucking air.
your boos mean nothing to me. I've seen what makes you guys cheer. Like, I could care less how many people are on this show's dick. Like, no, fuck you guys. I don't believe this shit. I believe this is bullshit, fabricated hype. Like,
Squillini.
No, dude.
You know what that bad feeling is? That bad feeling is his impending doom that he's going to be wrong.
We'll find out. We're going to find It's going to get one fucking episode. It's going to get one fucking hour of my time. And I'm never fucking... And if it fucking sucks, like, are you done?
Well,
has been sucking so much dick this morning, and you can't listen to me for 2 minutes? Fuck both of you. Fuck both of you. Keep sucking your dick. Keep sucking that cock, dude.
I can't do that on YouTube. I can't do that on YouTube.
This show literally has one hour of my entire life. If it's not the Star Spangled ass fucking that you two are fucking describing it as, it's never getting another second of my life. I'm warning you right
First off, I never said it was Star Spangled ass fucking. Okay.
You did. You bent right the fuck over and took fucking all that Fallout right up your glory hole, dude. I'm telling you, both of you.
All I'm gonna say is that ass jerky ain't gonna make itself. All right.
All right. We're gonna find out. It's got 1 hour. It's gonna have 1 hour of my time. Sometime in the next week, it's gonna have one.
You know, I'm telling you, you want to see a story of what you would be in 200 years, Jay?
I wouldn't live 200 years, dude. Are you crazy?
I don't know. I don't know. That's Squilini. You think he would live 200 years?
Nope.
Yeah, Jay's too stubborn to fucking die.
No, fuck no. I would.
Yeah,
I would.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's not going to happen.
That would be. I hope both of you realize, like, if I like living that long would be complete torture for me.
Oh, I know.
That would be complete.
That's like, why it would horrific, happen to you.
Horrific torture to me. That would just be like, that would be my, that would be a hell to me. That would be a version of hell. Like that, having that, to live forever. Fuck that.
It would, and it would happen. I'm telling you, because you feel like that with your luck, that's what's going to happen.
I mean, the thing is, so ghouls were always a thing in the Fallout series. This specific ghoul character was not in the games whatsoever. Pretty much the premise of the ghoul is they're like a mutated human who just can't fucking die.
He can't die, and he wants to. He's Jay.
How do you kill
like,
him?
Like, he can get How shot straight him? In the fucking heart, and it just he's got fucking Wolverine's healing factor.
You want to know? You want to know how you kill him? You stop giving him drugs.
Wait, what?
Yeah, literally, ghouls survive. Like the way they keep going is drugs. Like when she trank darted his ass, and he's like.
He goes, this ain't shit. He goes, there's just a little drug. There's just a little drop of drugs in this little drum. And the gore was fun. The one guy when he says, you want to make my cock explode? And he didn't even know what the fuck that even meant.
When he was talking about Maximus.
Yeah. Like the guy. And it's so funny because like, it's kind of like a Star Wars thing too. Like the knights can't have sex. That Maximus doesn't know shit about sex. A whole town, a whole civilization got nuked again. You know, there was some good stuff. So, you know, now I wonder if after all that shit, they still get solar eclipses.
Oh my God.
Well, just make sure that before the solar eclipse, you don't tip 1,000 bottle caps to anybody and then demand that you get your money back.
If I had a thousand bottle caps, they're staying in my pocket. Bottle caps are going to go a long way soon. I promise you that.
Yeah, we'll see.
In the Fallout world, bottle caps are the currency.
I mean, well, you got to barter with something, right?
Yeah, and pre-war money is all it's all over the place too. So what happened with this lady with that tipped $1,000?
So she was one of those, you know, end of the world's coming. I'm going to get raptured when the eclipse happens. So she goes out to dinner. She goes out to dinner last week and then this weekend at the same restaurant. First time she goes, she tips $100 to the waitress. Second time she tips like... It all totaled to like $1,000 total between these two tips. The second time she tipped $777, which in the Bible is like the opposite of 666. It's the holy number. So she tipped, you know, this $1,000 in total, thinking she was going to get fucking raptured because of an eclipse. And she tips the fucking money. Doesn't get raptured, and then goes back to this fucking restaurant on Tuesday trying to demand the fucking tip money back, and then tries to claim fraud and this and that and the other, and the restaurant's like, no, like, we didn't enter that number for your tip, because this restaurant, when you pay, they hand you the fucking credit card terminal, and you fucking tap your card, enter your tip amount, all that, on a digital fucking keypad.
Yep.
And they're like, this isn't fraud. You said you wanted to tip that. You tipped that. You're not getting the money back. And now it's become this whole fucking blown up thing because fucking Captain, I'm going to get raptured and doesn't get raptured, wants her fucking money back. And the restaurant's like, no, you gave it to us fair and square. Like, there's nothing that states we have to give you this back. And that's just one prime example of how to not be a decent human being. if you honestly didn't mean to fucking give that type of money, you shouldn't have fucking done it to begin with. That's all there is to it. Whether you feel like you were going to get raptured or not, it's totally beside the fucking point here. Don't go tipping a fucking extravagant amount of money just to try to get it back because you don't get sucked up into the sky wormhole.
I didn't get my powers either, by the way.
Well, we fucking told you that, John. You weren't going to get powers. We told you that last weekend.
Yeah, isn't it funny how the eclipse happened in the day after they announced that Heroes was possibly coming back too with the original cast?
Yeah.
Kind of crazy. Yeah, I mean, look, it was kind of cool. Actually, did you see the picture I had posted of the eclipse?
I think you said one in our group chat.
Yeah, I remember seeing it, but I don't remember the exact one you're talking about.
I was stuck in fucking meetings at work. I wasn't able to fucking step outside to fucking go look at it.
Yeah, it was. I was outside the whole time. I have sun filters for my cameras and stuff, so I was playing around with all my things, and here it is. I'll put it up for you guys. Now, it's a beautiful scene, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It was just so cool to be.
That's a very good picture. I like
Thank
that.
Thank you. It was just a cool experience.
I borrowed a welding helmet from one of my neighbors in case I was able to make it out to look at it. Because I wasn't going to go
about spend that.
All the places around me were selling fucking eclipse glasses, the little fucking paper ones.
They were saying they didn't work.
Fucking paper ones. Yeah,
and a lot of people were saying they didn't work.
Yeah, and some people said they didn't work. Some people got ones that did work. And you want to know the easy solution? A fucking welding helmet.
I never even thought of that.
It's the same fucking thing.
It is. He's right. He's right, you know.
I never once thought of that. See, because like you need those lenses to be able to protect you from the fucking light when you're welding.
Right.
Yeah.
That's correct. Otherwise, you get the blue spots.
Yeah.
Oh, like Chris Baudet did, right?
Yeah, fucking idiot. Like me.
Yeah, I saw what you wrote.
Or how about there's a video that came out after the eclipse, and it's a kid freaking out because he took off his fucking damn eclipse glasses and looked at the fucking shit, and then wasn't able to see. Lost his fucking vision.
Hmm. Oh, Dylan Mason, what up, my man? Let's talk about the number one Google search the next day. Why do my eyes hurt?
Yeah, because you're fucking stupid. That's why. You know what I mean? Like, because you literally did the exact opposite of what, like, you get told, to do during a fucking eclipse.
You guys didn't do anything, like, special or anything. You guys were just chilling, right?
Yeah, I mean, I went out and had a couple pints at my watering hole.
I was sitting in my fucking office working. I had the fucking, my curtains and my blinds open. And the way I knew it had started and had ended was it got a little fucking dark and cloudy outside for 30 fucking minutes. And then boom, it was bright as shit again.
Right.
We had
90% totality here in Kansas City, and it only got like, it just, the sky turned like a slightly different shade of blue. It's a darker, it's like a darker shade of blue. And that was at 90% totality. So it did.
Yeah, we were at 86% and pretty much the same thing. It just turned to a darker shade of fucking blue outside. It looked like it got super cloudy, even though there were no clouds in the sky.
I like the color tone. It was very post-apocalyptic.
It very much so. Very much so.
But I mean, the thing is, like, people at work, a lot of the people I work with, being a fully remote company, a lot of people on my team were like, hey, I'm stepping away for, 20, 30 minutes because their kids were home from school or whatnot because of the fucking eclipse. And they were going outside with their kids to go look at it. And all that jazz, and I'm just sitting at my fucking desk like, I don't care. I saw one 7 years ago.
Yeah. All right. So before we get to our news, there was a death this week, a major celebrity death, and I think a lot of people were waiting for it.
And finally tonight, O.J. Simpson can rest peacefully knowing that his wife's
murderer has died.
It is. It's shocking. And at the same time, it's just like, you know, whoa, like, oh shit. Like, we all jokingly say, when was this going to happen? You know,
but I like orange juice.
Orange juice is nice, but he killed that poor woman and that poor man that was sleeping in the guest house.
No, he wasn't sleeping. No, dude. That, no, he was like literally returning like her sunglasses from a restaurant. Ron Goldman like didn't even fucking like barely know.
He didn't live there?
No.
Listen, that's how much you know I'm a fucking detective, all right? I don't give a fuck about OJ.
I remember watching the goddamn white Bronco chase on the TV. Like, I literally remember watching.
We're also not all old as dirt like you, Jay.
I remember watching it, and I remember when Seinfeld made fun of it too.
I remember when like watching like every Weekend Update, Norm Macdonald would have at least one OJ joke in there, at least one. Mm-hmm. And it like culminated like when he was found not guilty. It was culminated when Norm Macdonald came out and was just like, "It's official. Murder is legal in the state of California."
Oh, God.
And ever since then, it kind of fits, right?
I was reading some articles after he passed this week. And, you know, OJ has had fucking arthritis, or has arthritis. Well, at this point now, had.
Yeah, he's fucking dead. Fuck him.
The reason the gloves didn't fucking fit is because he stopped taking his anti-inflammatory medication before the fucking trial. So his hands were super fucking swollen.
There's all kind of, the evidence. The evidence was basically overwhelming, and they actually, like, district attorneys in California, like, changed how they do business and collect their evidence now. Because of that trial.
Yeah.
The evidence was fucking overwhelming. Like, OJ completely murdered the fuck out of both of those people. It's a terrible tragedy. And he fucking got away with it. He got the fuck away with it. Like,
the glove don't fit. It don't fit.
You must have quit.
Yeah, no, fucking fuck all that. Like, it's just, no. He was a murderer. Yeah. The man was a fucking double murderer. You know, it wasn't even like all the stuff he did afterwards that got me so much. It was the fact that he committed double homicide with a knife. Two innocent people just dead.
You know, yeah.
One of them was like the mother of his children. Like, can you imagine doing that? Like, to the mother of your fucking children? Like,
the evidence was there, but now let's get into some positive stuff, some news. We got some military stuff to talk about today. Ooh-wee. First one here. The Army has inked a significant sponsorship deal with the little-known United Football League, the upstart minor league alternative to the NFL, after internal reviews on the idea found the investment would be likely to yield new recruits in a meaningful way. This is all coming in from military.com. The roughly $11 million deal set the service up to be the premier partner for the league's inaugural season, which started last month and created a relationship between the Army and Dwayne The Rock Johnson, an owner of the league, a global celebrity and top-tier online influencer. The deal was more than a year in the making, and planning started before the league was formed by the merger and the two minor football leagues, the XFL and the USFL.
That's pretty cool. I mean,
yeah, we'll find out
if there's any dividends from it. So,
and then that means that the Navy will never fucking be this again. Never. All right. Next one. 55 Coast Guard Academy cadets have been disciplined in a cheating scandal.
Oh, here we go.
Officials at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy say that they have disciplined 55 second class cadets who shared the answers to two homework assignments last fall in a nautical science course. An Academy spokesman said Friday that the cadets distributed answers related to navigation assignments in the required course for graduation in clear violation of Academy policy. The U.S. Coast Guard Academy is committed to upholding the highest standards of integrity, honor, and accountability, Captain Edward Hernandez, commander of cadets, said in a statement. Misconduct like this undermines trust, and those found to have violated our principles were held accountable for their actions. And following the investigation, six cadets found to have a significant amount of involvement in the collusion received failing threats, while 38 were given lower grades. 11 were removed from command positions that had earned this coming summer supporting training of the incoming SWAB class. And lastly, a total of 55 cadets, including one who was not enrolled in the course but was involved in the information exchange, were restricted to the academy grounds and will undergo a 20-week honor remediation program. Thoughts on this?
Don't fucking cheat. I know we joke around and say, like, if you aren't cheating, you aren't trying, but if you have to cheat to fucking succeed, you're not going to be a good leader. You will not be a good leader. You will not make a good leader. You'll make a fucking backstabber who is willing to crawl over the fucking bodies of his friends to make the next rank. We don't need fucking cheaters as officers ever in any branch ever.
Yeah.
If you have to fucking cheat to succeed, fucking pick a different goddamn job. Like, that being an officer ain't for you. We already have enough fucking officers that have fucked over enough people. You know what I mean? Like, we've been doing that for 250 years.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, we've been doing that for almost 250 years. We know when we get the bad seeds on the officer side, they get taken out. Okay.
Yep.
If you're gonna be an officer, like, you will be held to a much higher standard. Okay. And as a former non-commissioned officer, freaking, I will hold you to, like, that standard. Like, if you're going to be an officer, don't be a fucking piece of shit.
That's right.
If you're a piece of shit, don't be a fucking officer.
And
pretty easy.
Yeah, and now we've seen a lot of helicopter deaths and crashes within the last, what, 2-3 years?
Yeah.
Give or take?
Yeah. It's happening, yeah. Yeah.
The Army will have its helicopter pilots conduct additional hours of training after a rash of dozen crashes that has killed 10 service members just October alone. We've seen a troubling trend with our accident rates, and certainly any loss of life is 100% unacceptable. Major General Walton Rugen, director of Army Aviation, told reporters in a brief press conference Wednesday. And then obviously, even when we have accidents that we lose the aircraft or severely damage the aircraft, we consider that unacceptable too. We've been hearing about the Ospreys. We've been hearing about the helicopters. We've been seeing the videos, and, you know, we're losing soldiers. We're losing soldiers. And on top of that, what do we call that? Collateral damage, in case a helicopter crashes into a civilian home, or that matter, or somewhere on the base where there's a building with a couple people in it. This is a problem. Do you guys have any ideas of what you would do if you were in command to fix this?
Well, you have to find out if the problem is systemic, or if it's something that is like, you wouldn't call it them coincidental, but it's like, is it actually like an army-wide problem, or did a few helicopters crash in a short amount of time at three different locations completely in three different units? And it was just bad timing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If there is a systemic problem, yes, you need to identify what's creating mechanical issues, what's creating, you know, pilot fatigue or whatever, right? I mean, that's just that. That's kind of where I would start. I would say that's where I would start if I was in command, I guess. Joe, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's trying to figure out the root cause before you can really solve it. Is it systemic? Is it, like, what that's you gotta get to the root cause. There's a lot of RCA that goes into it, root cause analysis, to just pinpoint what the exact problem is. Is it, you know, we're understaffed on our fucking pilots? Are our pilots fucking tired and fatigued a lot because we don't have enough helicopter pilots? What's causing the problem? Because until you know what the root of the problem is, you can't ever fix it. And
that's why it took them so long to get the fucking Ospreys like unfucked.
Yeah.
You know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, and there's, so, and those are still difficult aircraft to fly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, that's exactly. Like,
there's no clear cut. Like, you can just fucking solve a problem overnight. It's never going to fucking happen from any perspective, whether like both me and Jay being, you know, NCOs and shit when we were in. Part of our job was figuring out how to fix problems on a troop level basis. Yeah. And you never can fix shit overnight. You know, you're always going to have, there's always going to be problems, and there's a lot that goes into fixing them. And, you know, being a leader and all that in the civilian sector, even like I've got management and leadership experience out the fucking ass at this point in my life. And you can never solve anything overnight. You always have to look at, you got to look at it with an open mind and from multiple different angles to figure out what the problem is, what the source of the problem is, to get to the solution. And you might try to make, you know, some changes, and then those changes don't fucking fix shit. And then you're reverting back, and then you're making different changes. So, you know, you just have to always be vigilant and evolve in your thought process and your thinking when coming at a problem to try to figure out a solution.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I really hope that these things get settled. And now our last news of the day. I mean, we got to give it to Commander Cameron Yeast of the U.S. Navy with this banger right here. This is one of the funniest things. I'm just gonna make it a little bit bigger, and then I'll make it small. But look at that! Look at that!
Fucking dumbass!
Yeah. Now
leave it to the Navy to do some shit like that.
Now, first things first. What's the first, like? And I remember I wrote to you guys, and Jay, you said something about the way he was handling the weapon, right?
Yeah. Like, I could see.
Close that image back up real quick.
Make it bigger.
Yeah. And sorry, Jay. Go.
No, you're fine. Like, please cover me up. I know I'm ugly.
No.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Jay.
No, the first thing that I saw a lot of people kind of commenting on, like, we'll get to the optic later, was how he had it up against his shoulder.
Yeah, the shouldering of it. The foregrip is way too close to the fucking mag.
However, there's one thing that people always forget with M4s and M16s. They don't exactly have a lot of kick. So I was a little bit hesitant at first to critique too much, because I'm like, okay, they're on a boat, it's doing this, you know, like, and you're trying to like keep a beat on something. I could see a little bit of, in the infantry, we call that shooter's preference. Like how you kind of hold and wield is shooter's preference. Do you want like a foregrip, or like for me, like I use like a C clamp, like I use a freaking, like, but that's just that's shooter's preference.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's all that is, and that's,
yeah.
So I was like, okay, the shoulder. I saw some people bitching about the shoulder, and I was like, it doesn't exactly have a lot of kick. So as long as you've got it kind of nudged into something, whatever. John, tell me about the fucking optic.
So the optic,
that's what everybody fucking started bitching about.
Like, yeah, so it's backwards. And if you guys don't see it,
it's a V cog.
It's backwards, and I don't give a shit. There is no shooter's preference when it comes to a fucking optic. There is one way they work and one way only. And if you put the fucker on there backwards, you're getting what I like to call the car mirror effect of objects. Oof. Maybe closer than they fucking seem.
Yeah. It's so funny because like I was looking at the photo while waiting, like, you know, waiting for some parts of my PC and stuff, and I was scrolling. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, that doesn't look right. And then like the comments started rolling in. Yeah. And one guy was like, please take this down. You're embarrassing the Navy right now. I actually got a couple things here. Like someone said here, man, the scope is annoying, but that grip placement is downright wild.
Yeah, that's usually you would have your grip a little bit farther, but shooter's preference. But normally, the foregrip would be a little bit farther out.
Yeah, in a Nerf gun too.
I'm gonna zone in real quick on the, you know, foregrip and the shouldering of it. A, we're using the M4 platform. So, and yes, there is shooter's preference. Everybody has their preferred way. However, me, ideally, foregrip, because we're looking at, it's the Navy on a ship on the fucking water. If we're looking at that scenario, and let's say you're having to do room clearing on a fucking boat, I would still have the foregrip further down the fucking cheek guard. And instead of extending out the fucking buttstock, I would leave the buttstock fully in instead of extended out, because it's a collapsible fucking buttstock.
It is.
So that way I have it.
What he has is collapsible. I can see it. I can see it from here.
And he's got it extended all the way too.
And he's got it extended all the way out. So what I would do is have it collapsed, so I have better control. And I have that closer fucking in like he's wanting it, versus having it up here on my fucking shoulder. I would have it collapsed, so I've still got it, you know, tight into my body.
And the way you figure all that stuff out is by putting rounds down range, right? Like by practicing.
Yeah. It's
pretty obvious by this picture he hasn't practiced in a while.
Yeah. Some people are saying
it's been a while since I've shot one, and I still fucking like that would have been my preferred. Like,
someone said, no, you're good. Someone said 100% the armorer set that up as a prank.
It's embarrassing. I'm not gonna lie, it's pretty embarrassing. It's pretty fucking embarrassing.
Yeah,
the thing is, you said he's a commander, right?
Yeah, he's the commander of the ship. He's not just a sailor.
Fucking with the damn CO. That's what's happening here. I don't care who you are. Whoever set that weapon system up for him and then handed it to him knew he was going to get fucking laughed at for that shit.
Yeah, but it's 2024. Like, we can't. That shit went out like in public. So like the armor kind of fucked that up too. Like if that's the case, that's a bad look on the armor, because it's like, dude, like that shit went public. Like,
yeah, and it's funny too, and it's gone now. And they wrote back by state, the U.S. Navy said, thank you for pointing out our rifle scope error in the previous post. Picture has been removed until EMI is completed.
What's EMI?
I thought you would know.
I'm not, I wasn't in the Navy, so
that's got to be a Navy thing.
Let's see, what is EMI?
U.S. Navy.
Personal loan EMI calculator. No. I don't need money. But that was one of the funniest things that happened this week. I mean, what a crazy week. The spring is
EMI is a proven training technique used to correct a deficiency in an individual's performance of military duties.
Yeah, so someone probably got in trouble for that one. And
surprise. Surprise.
All right, well, guys.
All right, boys.
You already know what time it is, and it's always. Who wants it? Is someone taking it today?
I can take it today. I've been slowly but surely like creeping back into the game, and I'm like,
you've been so positive. I wouldn't even have been able to tell.
Oh, without negative, I was today about Fallout. Are you kidding me? Like. I know. Full disclosure. We talk about this all the time on the
show. Oh, I know. And we fuck with each other.
I go kayfabe sometimes.
I know.
I was definitely playing the role that like
you see I know this. That's why now you're gonna make me work and edit this part out to make it look good.
Dude, I'm probably gonna watch this shit and probably like it. I mean, what do you want me to fucking say? Okay.
Character, Jay, that's the whole point.
It doesn't make for a good show if Jay is never fucking angry. For some reason, people have they react to my fucking anger. I don't know why.
I mean, it's fucking true. Jay's anger is one of the fucking concepts of the show. Like, it really, part of it, that's where me and John we come into play because we push the we know how to push the fucking buttons.
Just get that version of Jay
to come out.
I'm pushing the wrong ones, and then the rest of us are pushing the right ones.
And sometimes I go kayfabe. Just to fucking add some flavor.
And it's funny too, because some people were probably watching like, oh man, the guys look kind of uncomfortable. No, we're not uncomfortable. Dude, have you guys sat with Jay?
Have you broken bread with me?
Yeah, look.
Yet. That's happening there. In May.
Look, my man Bear, I watch for Angry Jay. Like, it's
thank you. Fucking thank you, Big Grizz. Thank you.
Because look, the formula is you can't just have three nice guys sitting at the table, you know, giving each other salt. You know what I mean? Like there always has to be one guy at the table that has to fuck up the mood. And if you don't have that one guy that's fucking up the mood, like
Jay is definitely our fucking Judas.
Oh yeah, shit.
Oh yeah, bro. Also, both of your asses so far down the river, dude. Like, first opportunity. Ten pieces of silver, motherfucker.
I've been waiting for the perfect time to use that fucking comment too. Like, it's been brewing for the past 2 years that I've been on this show with you fuckers.
You know what's going to be so funny? Thank God that we don't have like 100 people watching or I mean, it's been kind of weird lately. It's been fluctuating. But like people will be like, oh, they're comparing themselves to the apostles. Like, no.
No.
In no way, shape, or form are we doing that.
We're good at the English language and use of like metaphor and like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, so. I watch The Chosen. I respect what these guys are doing. Okay.
I'm just saying.
Look, I got my affirmations right here. Okay. We're good to go. I'm not an apostle. I'm just a child of the man. That's all.
I'm not a believer. And if you don't like me for it, like forgive me or something. I don't fucking know. It's not my religion. Yeah. You know, like how about what a concept, you know, follow what's in your own book.
And before we get to the final thought too, I think it's awesome. I think that's also something to convey, like even in the military, like we don't care what color you are. We don't care what religion you're part of.
Don't give a fuck.
You know, we don't care what you eat at night or who you're sleeping with, you know, like.
Not my business.
It's just so interesting how like when we're in uniform, we understand that concept. Yeah. And you know, a lot of people, you have a lot of people who don't join the military or have to join the military and able to get that concept. But
very much so. That is very much so. There's a lot of people that get a wild ass wake up call when they join the military.
Yeah.
And depending on their standing in society or depending on where they came from, depending on what region they're from, their upbringing, whatever, you see a lot of people get a very rude awakening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you see a lot of people get a rude awakening when they get into the military. Like branch is irrelevant. The military will change you in some ways because it's what it does.
It's what it's supposed to do.
Thank you. That you're goddamn right, John. Fucking A. Like it's literally
and
like
it works.
Fucking A. Can't fucking deny that shit.
It works.
Can't fucking deny that shit.
And on that note, man, like kick it off, Jay.
No, you know what, man? I'll tell you what. I've been doing a lot of thinking lately, and we've talked on this show, not necessarily at length because we don't normally get too personal on here. Like we get personal sometimes, but we don't get overly personal. We have mentioned, we have talked several times that, you know, and I'm not afraid to admit it, like that I do go to therapy. I do see people for the things that are going on in my head, right? And I've been doing some thinking lately, and I've had a couple months to just kind of like let the dust settle in my life and, you know, kind of like ride a little bit less of a wave. I still get hit with fucking emotional shit all the time. I still get fucking crushed and drowned in the middle of the day for no reason. And it's hard to describe what that feels like, but we've all been there. You know what I mean? And it fucks me up. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where it's like, sometimes we have to take a step back and it's like, do I need to do something else? Is, you know, like the metaphorical medicine that I'm taking right now, is it not working? Because if the metaphorical medicine that I'm taking is not working, then we need to do something different to solve the problem. Like me and Joe were talking about earlier, if you want to solve the problem, you have to do something that is actually going to solve the fucking problem.
That's right.
So if the metaphorical medicine you're taking, regardless of what that medicine is, if it ain't fucking working, what are you going to do? Okay. If you're not taking any medicine, does that mean you need to take some, or do you need to talk to somebody? Like, I don't know. And every week on this show, like, we like to encourage everyone, talk to somebody, talk to yourself sometimes. And I'm not talking about like getting like, you know, hoo-ha crazy about it, but ask yourself what you need. Identify weak points and strong points in your own life, in your own arena. You know what I mean? And reinforce the strong points and shore up the fucking weak points. Sometimes that's all we can do. But recognizing where those things are is really a lot of times like 98% of all of it. It's literally just preparation for the eventual battle to come. There will be days that we have that are bad days. They are going to come. 100% guaranteed we're going to have fucking bad days. Okay, if you are a human being on planet Earth, there is a 100% chance you're going to have some really, really, really bad fucking days. You have an obligation to yourself and the people that you love to do something about it. Either A, solve the problem, or B, fucking keep moving. Okay? Call your friends. Call your homies. Call your family. Okay? Call someone who cares. If you can't find nobody to call, you can text or call 988. You can dial 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-TALK. Okay? We've said it on this show a million times. This is not kayfabe. You can contact us. Okay? And we will get back with you. None of us are licensed behavioral health specialists, but we will listen. Okay? If it's that fucking bad, if it is that fucking goddamn bad, we will listen because we do care. Okay. One of the reasons that we do this show the way in the format that we do it is because instead of asking you guys for 5 more minutes or 24 more hours, we ask you for fucking 7. We ask you for a whole week, every week. Mm-hmm. That is a built-in part of like one of the concepts of this show. Every week we do this. This is the final thought. Because we're here. Because we're fucking here right now. Okay. We all know, you know, human eventuality, you know, 10 out of 10 people, we're all going to die someday. It does not need to be fucking today. Okay. It does not need to be removing ourselves from the equation. So if you are having a crisis, if you're getting hit with an emotional wave and the little raft that you're in the middle of the ocean is tipped over and you feel like you're drowning, call somebody. Reach the fuck out. You guys can do this. All right. But yeah, I love you guys. Freaking like, we got this shit. I expect to see everybody in 168 hours. Okay. Next week, we're going to do this shit until fucking somebody reaches their hand down from either the heavens or the hells above and below us. All right. And we're going to freaking just keep having fun. Okay. And that's what the fuck we're going to do. All right, we ain't no goddamn sons of bitches here. All right. We don't fuck around. We don't play. All right. So like, and this is not kayfabe either. We just don't play. I don't hang out with people. I don't know about you guys personally. I don't hang out with people that play. Okay. I don't hang out with people that play.
Kids play.
Thank you. Fucking thank you, John. Thank you, Joe. I trust me. I know. And me and John and to a lesser extent, me and Joe have had a couple of conversations about this where it's like, no, we're not playing today. We're not. No, it's not funny anymore. You know what I mean? It's not funny losing friends. It's not funny losing people to things that could possibly have been slightly altered and or completely changed. With what I would call a minimal amount of effort. A minimal amount of effort can go such a long way. But it also starts with recognizing what's in yourself and the strength that you have to change your own destiny. Okay? And choose life. Choose life. That's the best advice I can ever give. Yeah. Is just fucking, even if it is for 5 more minutes or for 24 more hours, okay?
Yeah.
Choose fucking life. Always choose life. Bet 100% of the time on life. It gets better fucking later. I don't know always when or how or why, but it does. We would not know how fucking bad our grief and our terror and our bad feelings are if we didn't also have the good feelings on the opposite side of that. Yep. So I'll shut the fuck up. John, Joe, I love you guys. It's always a pleasure. It's good to see you guys.
Again. Always. Every Sunday. We never skip a beat. We'll see you guys next week.
Next week, guys. You got 168. Mm-hmm.